At my ordination, I stated, as all of us Episcopal priests do, I solemnly declare that I do believe the Holy Scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be the Word of God and to contain all things necessary to salvation. And I do. I believe Scripture is true, but not always accurate. Not always as it appears. Some passages in conflict with each other. Theology and history mixed together, as you will hear. As Father David Brewer was fond of saying, the Bible is true, and some of it actually happened. Remember, virtually all Scripture was written in hindsight. So the writers of the Gospel and Epistles knew how the story ended, confirming the words of St. Stephen Jobs. You can't connect the dots looking forward. You can only connect them looking backwards. So you have to trust that the dots will somehow connect in your future. Transfiguration, a complete change of form or appearance into a more beautiful, spiritual state of manifestation. So, how do we 21st century Christians make sense of Jesus' transfiguration from the first century in a totally different worldview? What happened? We don't know. And if anyone says they do, head for the nearest exit. I invite you to consider the story from a different perspective. The early followers of Jesus met in homes, occasionally synagogues, and as they began to separate into a new entity, a question emerged. What is our relationship to Judaism? Jesus was Jewish? Are we? They asked. At first, Peter and James, the Jerusalem crowd, said, yes. Dietary laws, circumcision, worship on Shabbat, the whole bit. But what was Jesus' relationship with Judaism? The answer, he was connected. He didn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. It was that realization that connected Jesus with Moses' face as it shone from being in the presence of God, and with Elijah, the law, and the prophets. Like Easter, I believe the transfiguration was a theological dawning in them, not necessarily just a physical, objective event. A post-Easter realization placed back in time when Jesus was alive with them. Their understanding was transfigured. They saw Jesus in a new light. Finally, they connected the dots. Mount Tabor, the site of the Basilica of the Transfiguration, is a real place. Today's Franciscan monastery, not built until 1924, but on 5th century ruins of a Byzantine church and a 12th century Crusader one, a Greek monastery just down the road. 7 miles north of Nazareth, or 19 minutes in California terms, Mount Tabor rises about 1,800 feet above the Jezreel Valley. A temple to the Canaanite god Baal stood there, and the site had religious and political overtones for ancient Jewish people, where in the book of Judges you can read, the prophetess Deborah urged the Jews to fight the Canaanites. And there on top of the mountain, that beautiful basilica, remembering the transfiguration. Now, as you might imagine, I don't believe the story literally. But on the hillside behind the basilica, amid all the brushwood and scrawny oak, I can show you exactly where it happened. The story and place so vivid. Two questions. What did the transfiguration mean back then? What does it mean now? This morning, you heard the second letter of Peter, the earliest that story is mentioned, by the way. A fisherman, Peter, was probably illiterate. But in Peter's name, a follower wrote about, quote, the eyewitness of Christ's majesty to prove that Christians don't believe in myths. That letter tells me a couple of things. Jesus wasn't called Christ until later. Jesus' followers, not Christians, till much later. As most of you know by now, I differentiate between the human Jesus and the divine Christ. So the fact that the letter refers to the eyewitness for Christ's majesty tells me the author has entered theology, how ancient people and we modern folks describe meaningful experiences. Orthodox Christians back then assumed the event was historical, but saw it also, as Greeks do, as an allegory for the transformation of the whole world. By the 6th century, it was so important, its celebration was second only to Easter. Now, it didn't take hold in the Western Church until the 11th century, but seen as symbolic, illustrating a, quote, theological motif of the early church. That's quite sophisticated. Both saw the mention of the law and the prophets as support for Jesus' mission, affirmed by the same voice from heaven heard at Jesus' baptism, "This is my beloved Son." What about now? All of us, at least people paying attention, have experiences that are transformed into meaning, a process of dawning, moments transformed, transfigured beyond their boundaries as we become aware of additional dimensions beyond mere facts, not necessarily dressed in religious clothing. So consider with me a simple personal example. Today is the birthday of my wife, Jill, and her father, John, and our grandson, Theo, and Theo's other grandfather, Ray. Imagine. I mean, what are the odds? All that added a special dimension to this day. I thought of Jill's memorial, the fact that so many of you here at St. Luke's were there at St. Andrew's that day. Mother Nyanne and Father Bill assisting. Father Ricardo couldn't be there because he was attending a required diocesan meeting. Susie Fleming, Kirk Young, Janet Souza, and Ted Lorraine joined with many of you choristers here that day singing with St. Andrew's Choir. Then Kirk joined with our son John to sing my arrangement of Precious Lord, Take My Hand right before the commendation prayers as I held onto Jill's ashes in those final moments before the burial. Your presence meant so much to me. Until I saw the video and heard from some of you, I didn't even know many of you were there. Some even watching live stream, I discovered later. For me, that realization transfigured who you are as the people of St. Luke's. I saw you in a new light. Your presence there spoke of your loving care, transforming that experience into a deeper dimension of mutual appreciation and meaning and love. Transfigurations can be very real, with deep understandings, heartfelt gratitude, significant relationships, lasting memories. Transfigurations can also involve painful realizations. 78 years ago, August 6th, is also the day when energy at the core of existence was unleashed in the form of an atomic bomb detonated over the Japanese city of Hiroshima. Lots of good reasons to end the war in the Pacific, possibly saving millions of lives, Allied and Japanese. I'm old enough to remember VE Day and VJ Day, victory in Europe, victory in Japan. Then looking back, I was reminded of a day in 1964 when I met with the Dean of the Episcopal Divinity School in Cambridge, where I spent an Anglican year following Harvard Divinity School. I was feeling guilty. Classmates going into inner cities, classmate Jonathan Daniels killed teaching black kids in Mississippi. In comparison, I was going to the Boston suburb of Chestnut Hill, comparable to Los Gatos and Saratoga on steroids. Educated, comfortable, home of the Revere family, Julia Child, old wealth. How can I in good conscience go there, I asked. Dean Coburn, later my bishop and dear friend, looked at me and said, Ernest, there are people out there. I think of that day, August 6, 1945. The little boy, atomic bomb, equivalent of more than 14,340 tons of TNT, instantly leveling Hiroshima at a loss of at least 140,000 people, most dying in seconds, hours, days, and weeks, more the following year. There were people out there, mothers and fathers, grandparents, teenagers, toddlers and babies, human beings loved by God. I know it helped end the war, and always questions can be raised in the comfort and perspective of hindsight. But my hope is that remembering, even in the perspective of hindsight, we can connect the dots. Our sight transfigured so that we work to make sure, as best we can, this never happens again. Like the disciples pondering life and Jesus, relationships, and the meaning of it all, my prayer on this day is that we can have our sight transfigured to see a new vision of the preciousness of human life across the globe, in all nations, creeds, races, and genders. Hope that such a breakthrough, connecting the dots, might elevate our lives, bring a new dimension of understanding, as it eventually did for the disciples, as they realized new ramifications and depths of Jesus transfigured, as it dawned inside them that Jesus was and is the Christ, the Son of the living God.